Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone. I'm Paula Keoki, CEO of Outward Media, and today's podcast is with Ted Aurelius. He is the EVP Strategic Sales Manager, I'm assuming, for SG360 Degree, a company that's been around, I saw, for 65 years. Right, Ted?
It's been a while. Yeah, it's 1958. 42 plus 25 is 67. So, yeah.
You've seen quite a few evolutions, I'm sure, in the marketing industry. I know you have a strong proclivity towards direct mail, and it's making a comeback. Today, we're going to talk about how Ted helps brands turn data-driven insights into emotionally resonant campaigns, which seems to be a big buzzword right now. I'm going away from just facts and figures to emotionally resonating with your audience. We're going to explore how SG360 blends creative and targeting, why direct mail is making a comeback, and how to scale the human touch with performance-driven marketing. So welcome, Ted. So SG360 Degrees blends creative storytelling with data-driven marketing. When you're advising clients, how do you strike the balance between creativity and performance?
That's a really good question. I think it all blends together. And for us, it begins and ends with data. So our data scientists provide our creative team with these really great audience insights that we can then use to ideate around what is best going to resonate with that target audience. And they provide us this complete profile of who these customers are, not just where they live, how much money they make, how many children they have, but being able to understand who they are as people, charitable givers, pet lovers, likes to travel, into sports, like those type of insights, attributes, both physically and psychologically, help us blend those things together. So when we do come up with the idea, the creative idea, it really resonates with customers. And you had mentioned about emotion. Mm-hmm. That's where the emotion comes in, because we're able to connect with these people as people and not just a number.
And as we're predominantly B2B focused here today, do you blend that into with the B2B persona as well for execution?
Yeah, absolutely. Business people are people. Mm-hmm. So that does, just because we're connecting with them at their place of business. And oh, by the way, since the pandemic, there's a lot of home businesses, right? Lots of new startups in the whole. We used to joke about, oh, he probably started his business in his garage.
That's true now.
It's probably more true than ever. And so being able to connect with those business people, those small business owners, HR people, front office, whatever their job title is and whatever business that they're in, we do have to connect with them on an emotional basis in order to get them to respond.
Yeah, I think it's just going to get more and more as time goes by.
Yeah.
Also, you look at your audience. I say this all the time, but 70% of the buyers now are millennials and B2B buyers. And so they look at things a lot different than a baby boomer, even a Gen X.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. And so when you have a product, and each product or service has features and benefits, those features and benefits for us, we take a look at our messaging architecture, that features and benefits hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So to your point, baby boomers may feel differently about the features and benefits of that particular product than millennials do. Mm-hmm. Things may be more important. And so how do you lead with that? How do you use that information to create a relevant offer that may strike a chord to that millennial versus the baby boomer?
Yeah, one of the things I keep hearing about is that millennials are very into sustainability. So that's like really important to them.
It's what's also interesting is that the number one group, age group, that responds best to direct mail, it's millennials. And I think it's because They are so engaged with their digital world their entire day. Being able to actually physically touch a direct mail piece that is sent to them, and if done right, it again, it resonates with them, and they're actually opening it and it's personalized, and the offers to them, they respond better because it means something to them. And I think that idea of that whole social network that they have, this is really one-on-one. I'm going to make this decision on my own. So it's
That's a
again,
very good point.
it is, they're different audiences.
And in terms of, we always and still do strategize with potentially an email, direct mail, email sequence, kind of notifying the direct mail's coming. And then also because the direct mail, good thing about direct mail is it's a leave behind and it just sits there. You may not, you don't email, you can delete real quick. Postal piece you can hang on to and come back to weeks later if you want to.
Yep. And if your piece includes a plastic card, something that they can detach and either put in their wallet or put it on their refrigerator, a coupon, a buck slip, something that they need to bring into the physical brick and mortar, all of those direct mail best practice tricks,
Trick.
they
Good ones,
work.
though. Good ones.
Yeah, they
They
work.
do work.
Yeah.
So your company has won everything from Effies to an Emmy. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That's a big accomplishment. So it's clear proof of your ability to craft campaigns. When developing the stories and messages, Ted, does your team start by defining the audience first or by building the creative first and then aligning it together, or does it vary?
Yeah, that's a good question. As I said at the top, it does begin and end with data for us. And so if we don't know who that customer is, if we don't understand who the recipient is opening up that direct mail piece, it's going to be really hard for the creative team to develop something that's relevant, that's emotionally intriguing, that's going to get them to act, whether that's to pick up the phone, go on the website, click a QR code. It needs to start with the data for us, and that's where every single one of our campaigns begins.
Okay. And as we said at the top of the meeting here, direct mail is having a resurgence. We align with direct mail firms as well to promote because we're mostly online and digital for omni-channel marketing. I think you covered because it's that being able to tactical piece, right? So beyond that tactical piece and even the emotional piece that we're bringing to it, what modern tracking or conversion techniques are you all making to make it more effective today?
I think for us, it's always reporting, tracking, measuring. That's the benefit of direct mail because it is that one-to-one piece. All of the response mechanisms that I mentioned previously, when you add in things like an application that's put into a BRE, all of those things are easily tracked. It's a solid line from responder to the actual sale or application or whatever. With all of like above, especially above the line, it's TV and radio and billboards, and it's always been this dotted line. And even with the introduction of digital display, social, it's unless it's the last 9 yards, the last mile, it's hard to really track. So it's a dotted line. The way we go about it is we know who our target audience is and what that mailed audience is. And there's going to be other factors, right, throughout their relationship with that brand and that brand experience. And if done right, they're using multi-channels in order to connect, especially in the business sector when you're talking about drive time or at the office or lunch or on their way home or what they're doing after work, being able to use all of those channels and then the working with the brand to actually provide us with who are the people who actually purchased and to create that match back to our actual mail file, that also helps us track and to understand that yes, maybe they didn't respond via the mail piece, but they responded to the campaign. And mail, certainly, to your point earlier, it's you have more surface, it's a one-to-one communication. Mail certainly has an influence over that response.
And we also see some companies send out the mail piece, and then once they get that confirmation, it's hit. then they'll start the social or the
Right.
programming, yeah, to reinforce it.
Exactly.
Or vice versa. I've seen the opposite where if somebody clicks on the ad, then they shoot the direct mail piece out.
Yeah, it's all the channels, those rising tides raise all boats. You hear that expression all the time, but it's really true. And when you're putting together multi-channel campaigns, it's that the more touches that you have with the same story and the same tone, but slightly different messaging in those particular channels, and they work better and they have their own strengths and weaknesses. But when you pull them all together, that's when you're going to see the best results.
What they constantly say, or what I hear, is at the right time, at the right place, at the right channel.
Yeah.
And that can,
Been saying that for 100 years.
and then that'll vary, right? So it just based on the person, right?
That's right. Person, and also the brand.
And the brand.
Right. Like Ally Bank is a perfect example. They
Okay.
consider themselves a digital brand, right? And all their stuff is done digitally. Although they do a little direct mail, but how do they make those channels work harder for them? That's something that's a challenge for them. And they do very well. That brand has done an amazing job over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And their communication and their brand positioning is fantastic. Andrea Brimmer's done just an amazing job with that
Yeah,
company.
I'm obviously I'm very familiar with that brand, but I think also because they are considering themselves more of a digital banking solution, the direct mail piece gives it an oomph of hard material that we're more than just digital. I think that's how it would be perceived. Well, customer service experience, I'm sorry, is one of y'all's specialties. When a brand is trying to shift from transactional messaging to relationship-based communications, what are the first steps you recommend to embed the mindset across their organization?
It's really when you talk about going from transactional to actually making an emotional connection, and from that you develop a relationship. And so it's really a brand switch. So how do you make that switch from transactional and very formulaic and price driven, all moves, making that change over to relationship base and novelty and being able to establish that relationship with customers? You then go from one of many to preference. And that's how we like to talk to the brands that we work with, is how do you move from just another brand floating in the sea of sameness to actually being the brand preference, where customers are going to you rather than you going to them?
And building that loyalty,
That's right.
long-term loyalty. And it's in today's environment, that's harder to do.
Yeah.
Some people are just basically price driven, or it's again, I get back to what I was saying about the millennials. It's what is that brand doing also to help society? Yeah. And how are they responding in that community? And that could drive people to working with that or buying
Sure.
that brand.
Yeah, to your point, millennials are very socially driven. And what does your brand stand for? What is it doing in the community? What is it doing for its employees? What is it doing for the actual customers themselves? So making that emotional connection, providing that human benefit, it's not easy to do, but once you find the magic in it, and folks like Apple and Starbucks and Coke, Nike, they've done that in a
Yeah,
tremendous job of that.
and they have it on the B2B side. It's harder, right? One of our clients is a very large telecom company, and when we visited them about a year ago, they're building an internal ID graph in which we're supporting. And they say we want to do part of what we want to do is generational targeting because we're selling all different types of things that relate to telecom, but we want to appeal to that generation on the way they think and react to the marketplace. So that. Which I thought was pretty progressive considering telecoms have been around forever, right? And they're usually slower to make this
Well,
shift, the bigger these big companies.
it's tough, especially in that space. You expect your phone to work, you expect your internet,
Work.
you expect your cable to work.
Yep.
And for the long since Alexander Graham Bell, people complain about their like the service of the phone company has it's just it's oh, someone's always complaining about it.
Plan.
Nobody ever brags about it because they expect it to work. And
Expect it
so
to work.
having all of those complaints and those obstacles to get over, being able to connect with a customer and have them be an advocate for you. For me, it's Verizon, because I know that no matter where I am in the country, my cell phone is going to work. And that's important to me because I travel a lot.
Yes.
And I'm a big brand believer. I'm a big advocate of Verizon. That being said, there are advocates of AT&T Mobile and Cricket and whomever, right? And so it's how they've connected with me and how they've helped me build my customer experience with them.
It's important all the way through line, all the way from even when you contact customer service, what's your experience there, right? So marketers are under constant pressure to produce ROI. We all know that. The days of just doing media, doing this, doing that, nothing happens, those are gone. We know that. Yet the best results are often to come from the emotional storytelling that we were talking about. Do you believe it's possible to scale the human touch with AI, or are we too early in the game to figure that out?
Yeah, and I may, what I'm about to say may come off as a get off my lawn old man speech, but having been in the advertising world my entire career and seeing how valuable a good idea is and the work that that is put in with the aforementioned data team and the creative team that uses all of their experience and their emotional connections and how they experience a brand or life. I just don't think you can replace that with AI. Brands have a certain tone, a certain voice, a certain feeling that you get from when you see an Apple commercial or a Coke commercial or Nike or HP or pick a brand.
How you react to it, right?
How you react to it emotionally, and you just take a look at the last year's Super Bowl ads, and which ones did you actually that evoked emotion from you? And you can tell the ones that, just to your point, they just threw in the towel and like they just put it on autopilot, versus brands that really went that extra yard and created something that was memorable and relevant.
Always Doritos for me at the Super Bowl.
Right.
I
But
don't even eat them because I can't eat corn, but I just think their ads are just phenomenal.
yeah,
It
right.
does evoke something.
Because they connect.
But yeah.
They connect with their consumer. The people who eat Doritos are that. They
Yeah.
embody
Yes.
that. The guy sitting waiting for the time machine and
Yeah.
or waiting for the aliens to come down and take his bag of Doritos. It's like, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think AI is, it seems like it's shortening certain tasks, obviously, and we certainly use it, but we definitely want to bring in the human element in anything that we write or create from email marketing, et cetera. But so I agree with you on that. I think until the robots can develop some sort of
Feelings.
human, I'm sorry, see
That's
that.
right. Yeah. And you can, if you take a catchphrase, a marketing trend, or a catchphrase reading in a Wall Street Journal article, or pick a publication, right? Yours, for example, and then go Google it and then see the top 10 folks that are in the top 10 list on the search. And they use the exact same phrase. So then you open it up and it's like, they've just copied and pasted the same article. They're not thinking for themselves. It's just this regurgitation of the same thing. And when we put together a creative, it's for that brand, it's for that customer. And you can't use AI for that. You have to have creative people who
Yeah, because they're
get
thinking.
right. It's actual thinking.
That's one of my concerns with AI is what's going to happen to critical thinking.
I agree with you.
So I think we're definitely on the same page there, Ted. This has been excellent, excellent today. I really appreciate your time. So if somebody wants to chat with you about how you can help them move the needle,
Sure.
how do they get a hold of you, Ted?
I think the easiest way is to email me, which is teda@sg360.com. You can also
Is that TEDD?
TEDD, 2 D's in TED, TED.A, it's TEDA, excuse me, at SG360.com. I'm actually looking at my name now, going, I should have just spelled it out. You can also find me on
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. I've
Okay.
not too hard. I don't think there's too many Ted Aureliuses on
I don't
LinkedIn.
think so. You're a first for me.
I think I might be the only one, but I would love to talk. One of the, as I mentioned, my age before, I just love talking to folks about direct marketing and branding and what are they trying to overcome today, and how can we help them solve that problem, and whether it's us or somebody else.
Me too.
I get excited just
Me
talking about
too.
it.
Me too. And then when you put it together and it works,
Right.
that's the best thing for me. It's very
Yes,
exciting.
I agree. I agree.
Thank you again so much for your time today. It was very informative.
Thank you, Paula. This has been a lot of fun, so thank you for having me.
Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.